Amen. Appreciate that. Let's turn, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. How do you say thank you? How do you say thank you? 1 Chronicles 16. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these hymns of worship, hymns of thanksgiving, which we can offer to you. And I pray the Holy Spirit now would have his way in each of our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Interesting, this first psalm was to thank the Lord. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. This week is Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful every day, not just at Thanksgiving, but praise the Lord, we still have a holiday in which is a time of Thanksgiving, a time we can be thankful to God. Notice in Psalm 92, we should indeed be thankful every day. That's something we don't say often enough, is thank you to people. Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 92, 1, it is a good thing to give what? Thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a courteous thing. I look in chapter 103, Psalm 103. Many times when people are looking for work, they inquire about not only the wage, but the benefits. What benefits come with it? Well, as we stop and think about that, Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all what? His benefits. Well, what are God's benefits? I mean, sometimes when you hire into work, you may say, well, do you offer anything toward my retirement? You know, sometimes an employer may match, you know, 401k giving or whatever situation it is. Well, there's no one that can beat God's retirement. Amen. It's eternal life with him. And he never goes bankrupt. Praise the Lord about that. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Lord gives us so many benefits that we fail to think about. The other day I was doing some things, and then I think it was lunchtime. I could have complained, but you know what I thought? Praise the Lord, it didn't go off when I was doing something on the computer. I don't have a battery backup. Well, I had a battery backup at one time, and the battery backup gave up. So I need a backup to the battery backup is what I need. But I was just thankful that power didn't blink off when I was right in the middle of something. You know, we was talking about this recently, but when you're on a computer and you're doing something important, it's important to save your work often. But it is so easy to forget that until the power goes off, and then it's too late. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In what? Everything. In everything give what? Thanks. For this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. So many times we just forget. It's like we get working on the computer, we get going in life, and we just forget to give thanks. I mean, there's electricity here tonight. I have to confess that I haven't thanked the Lord that the power was on when we came to church. Why? I just take it for granted. I didn't when I came, I didn't thank the Lord that all the bathrooms are working. We had an interesting Wednesday. Was that Wednesday night? Okay, it was Wednesday night. This last week. So, and I'll have to confess, it's nice to have all the bathrooms working, but I must confess to you that when I came tonight, I didn't stop and thank the Lord that all the bathrooms are working. We just take so much for granted. In Haiti, their main bathroom is still an outhouse. That's the main bathroom. We take so much for granted in this day and age, so much. So the Bible tells us here, in everything, give thanks. And you know, that's a full-time job, isn't it? Just to appreciate things. And then it says, for this is the will of God. And isn't that what we long for so much? We long for the will of God. Well, right here is the will of God, is to give thanks. So not just this week, but every day. There's so much. And sometimes people take us off guard and may say, well, what are you thankful for today? And we have to stop and think. Well, we shouldn't have to do that. We got here to church safely. We have clothes. Some of you have had car trouble, battery trouble. How many of us, when we got in our cars tonight, the car started and we breathed a prayer, oh, thank you, Lord, the car started. Well, if we would have just had the battery trouble, probably we would have thought, praise the Lord, the car started. Was it last Sunday? I think I mentioned in the message about, you know, people are killed in accidents. None of us know how many days we have. And some of you were detoured going west, and two women died just like shortly after 12 o'clock last week on M57. So we should be able to just start rattling the things right off. But we really have to work on it, don't we? To be thankful. Well, how do we tell people thank you? Sometimes we write little cards and thank people. That's a nice way to show your thoughtfulness. Sometimes we make phone calls to thank people. Not everyone is a letter writer. Some are and some are not. But we can pick up the phone and thank them. I try to write our missionaries on a regular basis. But Brother Adams is one. He's not a letter writer. Brother Adams is a caller. And he would go so long, and then he would just have to pick up the phone and call. He just is just not one. Some of you may be the same way. You just don't get into this computer stuff. But if you have something to say, you just want to get on the phone and say it. That's okay too. And Brother Adams is that way, and we've had some good talks with him as well. Other people say thank you with flowers or candy, unless you're on a diet, and they have to say it other ways. Maybe with some little gifts of some sort. That's their way to say thank you, and that's great as well. So, but how do we say thank you to God? Does God like Russell Stover candy? If you're going to send a little note card to God, how do you get it there? You know, at Christmas time, it's sad, but a lot of children, they encourage to write letters to Santa. In fact, even at the Greenville Post Office, at times I've gone in there and they have a box out there, official box, letters to Santa. We should really call in the FBI and get them for mail fraud, shouldn't we? Because they never get that mail to Santa because he doesn't exist. But, you know, if you just change the A in Santa, you have Satan. And that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to make a substitute for every holy day. Holiday means holy day. And so for Christmas, Satan has inserted Santa. Just changed his own name, one letter, just moved it. For Easter, he's inserted the Easter bunny. Rabbits don't even lay eggs, but doesn't that show you? I mean, and look at how many people are going to have Easter eggs out in their bushes on Easter time. Something so absurd, a rabbit laying eggs, and yet they'll do that. They'll do anything to replace God. The Bible says God is not in their thoughts, and so we need to thank God, and we need to appreciate these holy days, these holidays, and we can remember what he has done for us. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 16. How do we say thanks to God? That's really a good question. I mean, how do we? How do you get the message across to him? 1 Chronicles 16, where we began our study here, and in verse 8. Verse 7 talked about, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. It's interesting that his first psalm that David wrote was a psalm of thanksgiving. And so he said in verse 8, the first line there is, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks. So our first point here, how do you say thank you to God? Tell him. Tell him. You can say it in a letter if you want. You can write it out if you want. At Christmas time, we encourage people to write a letter, a thank you note to the Lord, all he means to them. And there's nothing wrong writing it out, but tell him. When we're thankful, we need to express it. When we love the Lord, we need to express it. There's an old story. It's probably not a true story, but there's an old account that a wife said to her husband, "Honey, you never tell me you love me." And the husband replied, "Didn't I tell you at our wedding I love you?" And she said, "Well, yes, dear, you did." And so he said, "Well, honey, if anything changes, I will let you know." So that's not what we're supposed to do, okay? We're to tell people, "I love you." We're to tell the Lord, "Thank you," and tell him, "I love you." Hebrews 13, you might want to hold your place here because we'll come back here, Lord willing, for the different points and how to say thank you to God. But let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. When we are thankful, we need to express it. You know, how many meals do we eat? We never say thank you to those that prepared it. How many times, you know, our musicians bless our hearts and in song and young people sing, and how many times do we really say thank you? We really fail at that so much. We need to say it. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the what? Sacrifice. The sacrifice of what? Praise. You know, there's so many difficulties in life. All of us could constantly complain. It's really a sacrifice to offer praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to who? To God. How often? Continually. That is the fruit of our what? Lips giving what? Thanks to his name. So let's read it again. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So the first point, how do you say thank you to God? Just say it. Say it. It doesn't even have to be out loud. We can pray silently. We can pray out loud, but we should tell him continually. And that is a sacrifice. And the more trials in life that we face and the more we hurt, the more of a sacrifice that is, but it's well-pleasing to God. It's a sacrifice he appreciates. Let's go back into Psalm 19 then. Psalm 19. Of course, we have to really mean it. The Bible warns us in Matthew 6 not to use words, a vain repetition of words. And I encourage people to use a prayer list if you can use it without just getting into the vain repetition. My memory, I can't remember to pray for everything I need to. And so I've used a prayer list for Probably 30 plus years. But I know you do have to fight not just getting into saying it from memory and not really meaning it. So words can be meaningless, but we just need to make them sincere. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the what? The words of my mouth and the what? Meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's read it again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have you ever been talking to someone and just talking along, and you thought they were listening, but you found out in just a few moments or a few minutes that they were not? Because then they said something, you know that they didn't hear a word you said. Oh, sure, that's happened to you. That's happened to everyone. And we've all been guilty of the same thing ourselves. We had a missionary, and they had to come home off from the field because of physical needs, but the Stevens family were in Taiwan for some years. And Brother Stevens said when he got over to Taiwan, he learned that the Taiwanese people actually listen when you talk. But he said, us Americans just tend to think about what we're going to say next or something else. And so he said he really had to learn when he got to the field how to listen. I mean, to actually pay attention. And you know how it is when you're reading your Bible. You can start at the top of one column, and suddenly you can get to the bottom of that column, and your mind is thinking about something else. And you think, how did I get off on that? Well, maybe it's something you read in the Bible, and so it got you thinking about something else. You know, it's the same way with messages. Be honest, you don't hear every word I say. Well, you hear maybe, your ears hear every word I say, but I may say something that gets you thinking about something else. I may talk about the loss, and you may get thinking about a lost loved one you have. Any number of things as we read the scripture, your mind goes off. These new computers can multitask. They can do several things at once. I remember when the church bought the first computer, you couldn't send something to print and then do something else. I mean, it would do one thing at a time. But now you can send something to print, you can have the computer working on video, on a different thread, you can be working on a message or a letter, and it's doing all these different things. And our minds can do that to a certain extent, but only to a certain extent. And then we lose. We're not catching everything that's being said or done. And as we stop and think about this verse here, Psalm 19, 14, we want not only the words of our mouth, but the meditation of our heart to be acceptable to the Lord. So it's not just praying, and we can do this. We can pray and be thinking of something else. And so we've got to keep focused on this, that we really mean what we're saying to the Lord. So words are important, but words can be shallow and meaningless if we're not careful, if we're not really thinking. And it's the same way with gifts. Gifts can really be meaningful, or they can be shallow as well. I had an uncle, he's with the Lord now, but he bought my aunt flowers, evidently quite often. It would get mentioned in our home about my uncle, how often he bought flowers for his wife. And that is a sweet thing to do, you guys. That's a sweet thing to do. Amen. Amen. But it can also be, if we're not careful, it can be something, as in the case of my uncle, it could be something just to cover up something else. In his case, for 12 years, he had been committing adultery with a woman at work, and it didn't come out until a long time later. So you know what? At that point, all of those flowers didn't mean anything, nothing at all. Now, women, don't get your minds thinking. Now, if your husband's bought you flowers, don't say, oh, what's he trying to cover up? And don't get down that trail. But I'm just saying, it's not only words that can be shallow. Gifts can be shallow unless they are done sincerely. So how do you say thank you to God? Well, just say it. Number two, let's go back to 1 Chronicles 16. How can we say thank you to God? By the sacrifice of our lips to say it. Number two, we can say thank you by calling upon Him for salvation. We say thank you by calling upon Him for salvation. It's like this morning, well, let's read this first and I'll comment on it. 1 Chronicles 16:8. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. Call. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. If we appreciate what He's done, we should accept it, His gift of salvation. As I mentioned this morning, that pastor in Haiti offered to feed us. And we felt sorry for him because he was so poor. And our first thought, as I said this morning, was to not go and not be a burden to him. But as Mrs. Wald told us, that if you don't go, you're going to hurt his feelings. He wants to do this. He wants to give this sacrifice to you. And she said, you'll hurt his feelings if you don't go. So we went. And just stop and think. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, who? Son. You stop and think about how many sons died in Vietnam. I've told you before, but down in Chattanooga, there's a little community up on one of the mountains. And maybe I shouldn't say Chattanooga because I think it's like an hour away from Chattanooga, but in that area. And it's called Roark's Cove. And I asked them why they called it a cove, because I didn't see any body of water up there in the mountain. And they told me the mountains formed a cove, and that's why they called it Roark's Cove. But there was a little chapel there in a cemetery, and in the afternoon, we preached in the morning, and in the afternoon, I was wandering through that little cemetery. Just a little tiny community in the middle of nowhere up on the mountain. And I found there was at least that morning two of their young men had died in Vietnam, two gravestones. And I thought, wow, what a loss to this little community. They've lost two of their sons, their precious sons. And you know, when you give your blood for freedom, and then it turned around and we just end up pulling our troops right out of Vietnam. And if you remember back in those days, they were firing at our troops as they retreated out of there. And then the communists came in and slaughtered Christians by the thousands in Vietnam and Laos as well, Cambodia. And what a sad thing. But just stop and think. The Father gave His only begotten Son to offer the greatest gift that He could to mankind, and that's life, eternal life. And so many people reject that. So a way to show appreciation is to accept His greatest gift, to call upon Him for that. And then as we read on there in verse 8, it says, first of all, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, and then it says, make known His what? His deeds among the people. So the first thing is to thank Him, and then the second thing is to call upon Him and receive His gift. The third thing is to tell others about it. How do you say thank you to someone who has done some work for you? Well, one way, I guess, is to pay the bill, whatever it is. Years ago, when my dad was in construction, they never signed contracts. He never advertised for business. He never took out a newspaper advertisement. Just people heard about him, that he was a carpenter, and they hired him. So no one ever signed a paper. They shook hands, okay. And I recall one of our neighbors about a mile away came to my dad, said, I'd like you to redo our kitchen. And so, you know, a handshake was all it was. And so, but each week that my dad worked, he would turn in a bill. And back in those days, they never gave an estimate. They didn't hire you if they didn't trust you. So you just worked. And of course, many times the homeowners were around, so they knew if he was, you know, sitting there milking the clock, they would know. But each week, my dad would give that family a bill, and each week they would short him a certain amount. And so he just figured, well, they don't quite have enough money, so, you know. But every week it was the same thing. The check was always short of the bill. And at the end, I mean, they were neighbors. At the end, my dad just gave them the last week's bill, and he just figured that then they would catch up on all of that back.